It's almost Erev Kippur. And I feel like the last few weeks I've been trying to put together a Dvar Torah, but my thoughts are mevuhal. Everything is confused, and so maybe it would help if I say in the beginning what it is I want to say. I want to talk about Nadav and Avihu. I want to talk about the Goyrel, and I want to talk about the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. So Nadav and Avihu, the Torah tells us that after the death of Nadav and Avihu, Ribbono Shel Olam gives Aaron a Kohen all the dinim of Yom Kippur. Lo yovoy b'chol eis al ha-kodesh ve'ish lo yiyah. And there should be no man inside in the inside of the inside when Aaron HaKohen comes. Gemara asks, is the Kohen Gadol not a person, not a man? So Nadav and Avihu were trying to fix the damage that was done by Adam when he ate from the tree of knowledge. This I heard from Shlomo. And many, many years I've been thinking, like, what did Shlomo mean? We were learning, when we were doing Sefer Yetzirah, we were learning the Pshischa Torah from the Rebbe Rabbinim. What was it? What does it mean? Ki b'yoyim acholcha mimenet mois tomis, that God says, on the day that you eat from the tree of knowledge, you're surely going to die. He didn't die. What does it mean, you're going to die? So in Pshischa they said it wasn't a punishment. Death is not a punishment for eating from the tree of knowledge. Death is just a fixing. Why? Because before we ate from the tree of knowledge, we ourselves were completely transparent. Adam HaRishon, when he looked at himself, he could see Neflos HaBoyer. He could see the amazing, amazing creation of the Creator. He could see the Creator. When he looked outside himself, he could see God. When he looked inside himself, he could see God. When he looked at Chava, he could see God. He couldn't really stand outside himself. He could look at himself, but he couldn't stand and see himself objectively. Say, ah, Adam, you're doing pretty good today. He couldn't see that, because wherever he looked, everything he saw was the consciousness of the divine. Everything that Adam HaRishon put his eyes on, everything that he smelled or he tasted, everything had the imprint of the Ribbono Shel Olam on it. So Adam HaRishon was the most amazing appreciator of Ribbono Shel Olam, and that was really his tachlis, as he was to be aware of everything inside him, how it worked, everything outside him, how it worked, everything that was happening between him and Chava, and how that works. Adam HaRishon was Yitzir Kapov. He was the creation of the hands of God, which means that he could experience himself as the hands of God. He didn't experience himself as Mr. Adam, one paradise lane. That's not who he was. He was Yitzir Kapov. He was the handprint. He was the palms, he was the fingers, so to speak, of the divine. Adam HaRishon didn't have even a little bit of ego. There was no part of him there what was, standing outside and looking at him, looking at him. There was no room for that. all there was this greater by the minute, greater by the hour appreciation of who the Rabbeinu Shalom is and what the Rabbeinu Shalom has done and how everything just fits together. That's who Adam HaRishon was. It was pure bliss. That's the meaning of being in paradise. He could see himself for the purpose of what he'd been created, which was to be in Gan Eden, which means to enjoy this bliss. That he could see. For that he could be thankful. But to have some kind of an outside awareness, an objective look at Mr. Adam the first, that he didn't have. Now he's eaten from the tree of knowledge. The first thing that happens is he sees that he's naked, which means that he becomes aware of himself in a whole new way. He's looking at himself objectively. So the only cure for this objectivity is death. The only time we can stop looking at ourselves is when we stop looking. And so Rabbeinu Shalom gave us this gift of dying so that we can reconnect. We can get back to the source where we become aware of the divine in us and the divine everywhere. So it's not a punishment. Nadav and Avihu, they wanted to bring the world back to that state. They could see that the Rabbeinu Shalom brought the Shekhinah, brought the dwelling, brought the awareness, brought the presence of God down, not just onto a mountain, but into the Yerios, into the Kloim, into the Amudim and the Adonim, into the gold and the silver and the wood and the tapestry from which the Mishkan was made. That the presence of the Divine came down and rested there in the Aron HaKodesh between the two cherubs on the top of the ark. They could see how the wood and the gold and everything had become infused with this presence of the Divine in a way that had the wood and gold been able to appreciate what was going on, it would have gotten to the stage where Adam and Chava were before the Chet, before they ate from the tree of knowledge. And Nadav and Avihu felt that with a little work they could be mamshich, they could draw this awareness out of the Holy of Holies into the whole world, that everybody in the world would be able to get back to that place. Where were they coming from? They were coming from their cheshek. They were coming from their desire. Their desire to get back, not just that they should get back, but that the whole world should get back to that place of Adam and Chava. That was worth dying for. They were moisa nefesh. They gave their life. They were ready to die to become that transparent in the way that Adam and Chava had been transparent to themselves. You know, transparent can mean that you can see through it, but it can also mean invisible. And that's the problem. For Nadav and Avihu became invisible. Bekarvosam lifnei Hashem, they, you know, Yidden are called Am Karoiv. I met a Yid who said he lives from this posuk in Tehillim. Livnei Yisrael Am Karoivoy Haleluka. The Yidden are Karoivim, Mishpucha. Family, familiar, to God. And just from this is what keeps him going. Because I'm a Yikurv, right? I'm your family. I'm close. And everything about Nadav and Avihu is they wanted that closeness. They wanted that closeness where there's no separation. That closeness where we become transparent. How were they going to achieve that? They were going to achieve that with the Ketores. Ketores, we learn many times, Ketores ties everything together. Even the chalbino, which smells bad, is part of the Ketores. And the Kisvei Ari talks about the 11 oiris of the klipa, that there's 11 facets of light in the dark side, these represented by the 11 ingredients of the incense. So we've been learning many times, when you look at someone and you see that they've made a sin, if you look inside the sin, then you see there was a cheshek inside. There was a desire. And if you can go inside that desire, you'll find there was only a desire to be close to God. That all our chatoim, all our mistakes, all our voinus and our pshoim, even the sins that we do thinkingly, lahachis, knowingly that we're doing, they all come from that one place. Because it starts young. We start thinking, oh yeah, I'm not going to have what I need. I need to get, I need to take, I need to grab. Not going to be given, I'm not going to be taken care of. It starts very young. By the time a person's 2, 3, 4 years old, they already learn that you want something, you have to take it. Somebody doesn't let me, okay, so I'm going to have to be careful about how I take it, but I need to take. For somebody to feel so good about themselves that they trust that everything they're going to need is going to be given to them is a very high madrega. This is how a tzaddik. You see, sometimes children also tzaddikim because they don't have this feeling that they need to grab for themselves for whatever reason. The cheshek insight. And the shoyrish of the chait comes from the desire, and inside that desire is just a cheshek to be close, to be mekurev, bekarvosa. In Ishbitz they said that from the avoida of Nodav and Avihu comes the avoida of Yom HaKippurim. That if not for the avoid of Nodav and Avihu, there wouldn't be Yom Kippur. That they brought down Yom Kippur into the world with the avoid that they did. And even though it looks like what? That it was imzinsed, it was wasted. All they did is they wasted their lives and they threw away their lives for nothing. Sizgunisht. Velasorisim. And to the eunuch, says God, I will give them Yad Vashem Bevesi Toiv Mibonim Ebonis. I will give them in my house and in my choima a place, a Yad Vashem, better than children. The Ishbitzer says, sometimes, you know, a person says, how could a person have the life force flowing through him if he's an Oka, if he's barren or she's barren? What happened to the life force? It must be they're cut off from the life force. So Rabbani Shalem says, it's not true. But sometimes I clog up the life force, and as inside that person, I don't let it flow as it should to produce children. Instead, v'nosati l'choshem yad bevesi v'choy moisai, I am going to build my house from it. You know, a person can daven, a But you know, the when you daven in a place of tefillah, that's different. Like the Gemara says, you know, a person, if he davens in his mokum kavua, then his tefillah is on nishmoy much more, right? And Shlomo HaMelech used to say, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he said, Rabbi Shlomo, not that nobody needs to daven anymore, but when they daven here in this house, I want the tefillahs, they should all be nishmoy. Why? Because the mokum tefillah, the Beis HaMikdash raises the praise. It's like it takes the tefillah, and not just it amplifies it, but there's the tefillahs of Shlomo HaMelech are right there. And the Ishbitzer says that sometimes a person does a mitzvah which is barren, and nothing comes of it. You know? Like Nadav and Avihu. What came of it? He says, no, but the whole Yom Kippur comes from Nadav and Avihu. They're like the sorisim, like the eunuchs. They'd say, well, they did something and nothing came from it. No, it's like the whole Yom Kippur comes from Nadav and Avihu. Because everything that we do in our Yom Kippur gets assembled into the Yom Kippur of Nadav and Avihu, and it goes up there. You know, the Kohen Gadol, when he went into the Lifnai v'Lifnim, when he went to the inside of the inside, he had to be really careful not to daven. He didn't take anything of his own in with him. It says, La'odam marchilev, a person prepares his heart, v'Hashem man eloshin, and God already, you know, the things that come out of your mouth, God already fixes that. You just prepare your heart. But on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had to go in without preparing his heart. That was the big machlekes with the tzedakim. They made him swear not to make tikkun outside, not to make any preparation outside, to go in. Because if I prepare my heart, then the Rabbeinu Shel Olam takes what I do and you know, amplifies it or opens me up, and then there's a response. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to even that not do. Because when we're talking about Yom Kippur, we have to go beyond that objectivity that we have, beyond thinking of who I am. It's not the day for contemplation of this is what I've done or this is what I am. Yom Kippur is much higher. Yom Kippur is the Knesset LeParadis. Habo Nechnesu LeParadis, only Rebbe Akiva comes out. Acher, he sees the angel writing Zachvuson Shel Yisrael. He's writing the Zachuyas of Yisrael. He says, there's something wrong. What is? So what's wrong if the Malach is writing the Zachusim of the Yidden? The Torah says, V'lo yizbuchu la'se'irim. The Torah warns us no longer to make offerings to the demons as we used to do. And yet here we are in Yom Kippur making an offering to the demons, right? The So'er la'azozim. So in the Ishbitz it says, to distinguish between good and good, that you can do with your seichel. To distinguish between good and bad, that you can't do with your seichel. If you try and distinguish between light and dark with your seichel, it doesn't go. Because the nature of good and evil and light and dark is that it hides itself. It covers itself. Whatever it is, it looks like the opposite of what it is. The only way you can distinguish between light and dark, between good and evil, is with your heart. So, the Kohen Gadol would close his eyes, right, and put his hands into the kalfi, into the lot and lottery box, and take out the two lots and put one onto the head of the Soel HaZoze and one the Soel HaShem, because the Yadayim are the Anfei HaLev, says the Ishbitzah. The hands at that point are operating as instruments of the heart, not of the mind. And because to distinguish between the Soel HaShem, Soel HaZozel, you couldn't tell any difference. They looked the same, they were the same size, the same shape, they cost the same amount, they were bought at the same time. They looked identical. That was part of the mitzvah, that they had to look identical. You couldn't see which is Soel HaShem, Soel HaZozel. And if you try to distinguish with your mind, then you're going to get swindled. So the Kohen Gadol made a vidui on the par. And then when he'd done vidui, meaning that he had gotten past his averus, he'd gotten past his sins, then he was able, like his hands were able to flow and choose, because they were going with the heart, right? The heart can distinguish between good and bad even when the mind comes. What's this Soel HaZozel? You know, there were two angels who said, Mo Enish Kisis Kirei, what Rabbeinu Shem, why are you building a world for man? You know, man is going to just do such bad things against you. Why don't you just leave it to us angels to spread the word that you are the great creator of the world? We'll do such a good job. Why this, you know, human beings, they forget. Human beings, you know what they're like. Right? These two angels are the two angels, Azor and Azoel. You know, the beginning of all chet, of all sin, is Azor and Azoel in the heart. Because they tell us, Mo'enish, these two wicked angels, they are there in my heart all the time saying to me, what are you? Was bist du wert? Schon nicht wert. You're worthless. If you only were real, if you only meant to worship God, if you only, like, who do you think you are? Right? So the voice inside, that the chief voice that makes me think that I'm nothing, that's the voice of Azor and Azoel. And they just want to destroy. All sin begins with this thought, this one thought, that I'm nothing, and that I ruin the world, I'm not worthy of living, I'm just gonna make it, destroy it. All the things mamash that trigger the chaytze pusheya, this is the voice. As I was saying before, you know, that part of me thinks, I am never going to get what I need, I'm never going to get what I want, all these things. You know, this is part of that voice. What do these malachim say? Oi, we really mean God's glory. We really mean Rabbeinu Shlomo. We mean you. When we said Mo'enosh Kisis Kirei, what is man? We didn't mean anything bad about man. You know, it's like, we mean you, Rabbeinu Shlomo. What? Nothing makes them happier, these two angels, than when they hear. When they hear me telling, you know, how bad I've been, you know. So the Indian of the vidui on the Sora Mishtaleach, the Kohen Gadol, he confesses all our sins on the head of this, and they would tie Loshen Shel Zohoris, they would tie this red tongue of wool on the horns, which is symbolic of this confession of the sins. Now, if really the angels, if really the angels meant the glory of God, then there would be nothing satisfying in hearing the sins of the Jewish people. The fact that the angel starts to rub his hands and he starts to salivate and, you know, lick his lips when he hears the sins of the Yidden, that itself is the proof that the whole Yetzirah never meant the glory of God. But the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want at this moment that we should achieve what Nadav and Aviyu wanted us to achieve, which is to become so transparent that we lose that part of ourselves which wants things. Because we were learning in Parshas Kisetze, if you have a desire, then something in that desire represents something holy that wants to come into the world. We were saying that Kisetze l'amelchoma levecho nesona shem nekecho v'yodecho v'ro'iso b'shivya yishasifas toy. We were talking about the beautiful woman that you see, that's a metaphor that in each nation there's a desire. And that desire represents something. So as soon as the nitzus, as soon as the holy spark has been reabsorbed into its proper place, that nation, not only they lose the desire, but the nation loses the nation. That really what it is that sets every human being apart from every other human being is the cheshek, is that desire which every human being has, which is different from everybody else. Which, as we said, you know, we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, stems from the rotzon ha-poshut, the simple desire, which is in God it's simple, but when it manifests in each of us, it manifests as a different thing, and in each of the nations of the world, it manifests as another desire. Nadav and Aviyu, their desire was to get back to that state where Adam and Chava were, which is represented by the Ketores, which is Ketira de Koila. It's everything is tied together, the good, the bad, that which smells good and that which doesn't smell good. Before the Kohen Gadol goes into the inside of the inside, he has to remove from himself all his desires, meaning he's not allowed to appear in the inside with anything of himself. Nadav and Aviyu were trying to achieve. But you know, while the Kohen Gadol is going into the inside of the inside, that soil mishtaleach, that soil azazel is still standing outside. Because something has to stand outside. Because that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wants the world to be. So yes, the Kohen Gadol who goes into the inside of the inside, and you know, each one of us, on Yom Kippur, with the Kohen Gadol of our own Beis HaMikdash, everybody has to be the Kohen Gadol. And yeah, I take into the Holy of the Holies, I take the Ketores, which is Ketira Dechoy, which means everything. It's all tied together. Fair. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants everything. It's all fair enough, you know, like everything is acceptable. The main thing, when I come lefnai lefnim, is that one part of me stands outside there, which is saying vidui on the Surya Mishtaleh, which means that there's still a part of me that is acknowledging what it is that I want. So there's two seirim. We haven't reached that stage yet where we become unified in the way that Adam and Chava are. But the closest that we can get to being in Gan Eden again at that level is to be Yom Kippur in the Avodah. And what is the Avodah? That you go inside the inside of you, where there used to be these two angels. And the two angels, they used to say, Mo Enosh, what are you? And I have to take inside and replace those two angels with the Ketores, with the Ketira Dechoyle, which is to say, Olo b'machashov, higher than the thought. Hazan Azoil, they say, Mo Enosh. Mo Enosh is at the level of Chochma, which is the level of Ma. The level of Chochma is the level of thought. But that's not where we are. Yisroel, Olo b'machashov, we're higher than the thought. We're the level of Kesa. There, in Atiko, it's different. There isn't that cheshbin. There isn't this accounting. It's all about machashava. It's higher than that. And what is that? That's the rotzo in haposhut. That's God's desire for you, which doesn't need any cheshbonus, it doesn't need to answer to anything, it doesn't have to give account. You have to take the ketores and you have to not mix in any of your own desires. Nobody's allowed to, no desire is allowed to go in when you take that ketores in and put it where, and get rid of those two angels who are saying Mo Enosh. In other words, in the avoid of Yom Kippur, is to go inside into that place which was always denying the right to exist and the meaning of my existence and the purpose and the end of my existence, to go into that place and put down the ketores, which is the ketira techoyle, and say that this is what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants, this is what the Rabbeinu Shalom made, this is what the Rabbeinu Shalom needs, this is who I am because this is who I am. And all this time the Ishbitzer says the Surah Mishtalech is waiting outside, because there are still some desires that we have inside us that still have to be separated, the good from the bad, the good from the bad, all the time. Which means that inside every chait, inside every sin, inside everything that we did, at the bottom, underneath, at the root and the heart, there was only the desire to connect. And if I can to the desire to connect, then the sin just disappears onto the Rosh HaMishtalech. I bless you and me that we should be able to reach that place of self-acceptance and self-affirmation, and we should be able to see inside each of the various that we have done that cheshik to connect, that desire to connect, to be kroivim bekarvosam el Hashem, and we should be am kroivoy, we should feel that we are mishpucha with God, and we should all be blessed with a gzint yur, and we should come together in simchas b'vinyan beis hamikdash b'mehir b'meinu amen.